As a launch text, in a few moments, we'll be in the book of Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse number 6. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse number 6. As we have been doing for the past several weeks, we've been handing out these small little cards. If you did not get one of these cards, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I've got some folks that will come by and get you one. Fellas who I gave cards to. Let's see, I know, where's Eric and Alex? Here's some, they're right here, the cards right here, if you wanna pass them up for me. But just keep your hands so that some folks can see and we'll get that card for you. If you have a card right now, typically I have you maybe wait to write on, but today we're going to be talking about fear, and so if there's something that you want to write on your card in response to this question, what makes you fearful, or when are you most afraid, or what are you afraid of? You want to write that on that card, go ahead, and then later on we'll have some instructions on what to do with that card, and I'll remind you with another opportunity to do that later. If you're visiting with us, where we have been for the past month or so, we've been discussing emotions, and we've been using as an illustration of our emotions a Disney Pixar film called Inside Out. In Inside Out, it's the story of a young girl, Riley, who moves to San Francisco with her parents, and we get a glimpse into her mind, and we get to see the different emotions, joy, sadness, anger, disgust, and fear interact. And we see this amusing story that's actually based on science. It's based on some research done by a very prominent psychologist in the area of emotions and feelings. And so we get to see that these five primary emotions, there are others, but these five primary emotions have different features and different characteristics. And as we look at the Pixar film, and if you haven't seen the film, again, I would encourage you to watch the film. But as we consider the film, we find ourselves resonating with different things put forth in the film. Today, we're going to talk about fear. In just a moment, we'll watch a short montage of some of the fear clips. But one of the things that we've been trying to get across through this series is that God has made us in such a way that we have these emotions for a reason, and it is not our job to try to isolate one or to exalt one or to try to dismiss one. Let's learn how to embrace all that we are, because God made us with all of these emotions, even fear. There are good reasons why we have fear. And so what we've tried to do again in these series of sermons over the past month is to help us become more healthy emotionally. We should be trying to be physically healthy. We pray for that all the time. But we also need to create a space in the community of faith where we can achieve emotional health. So with that, I want us to take a look at fear from the film Inside Out.
Very nice. Okay, looks like you got this. Very good.
Oh, that's right, Karen. Oh, look out!
That's fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, huh? I'm back! Oh, we're good. We're good. Ooh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back.
We're supposed to live here?
We have.
I'm telling you, it smells like something died in here.
Can you die from moving?
Guys, you're overreacting. Nobody is dying.
A dead mouse!
Ah, great.
I'm gonna be sick.
It's the house of the dead. What are we gonna do? We're gonna get rabies!
Get off my
man! Hey. All through the drive, Dad talked about how cool our new room is.
What was that? Was it a bear? It's a bear!
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
Oh, I'm so jumpy, my nerves are shot!
Ew, I don't want to hear about your nerves.
I'll tell you what it is. This move has been a bust.
That's what I've been telling you guys! There are at least 37 things for Riley to be scared of right now.
The smell alone is enough to make her gag.
I can't believe Mom and Dad moved us here.
much as hugging. Okay, first day of school. Very, very exciting. I was up late last night figuring out a new plan. Here it is. Fear. I need a list of all the possible negative outcomes on the first day at a new school.
Way ahead of you there. Does anyone know how to spell meteor?
What?
Almost finished with the potential disasters. Worst scenario is either quicksand, spontaneous combustion, or getting called on by the teacher. So as long as none of those happen.
Okay, everybody. We have a new student in class today.
Are you kidding me? Out of the gates, this is not happening!
Riley, would you like to tell us something about yourself?
No! Pretend we can't speak English.
Don't worry, I got this.
So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What? Okay,
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
And you, Riley.
My name is Riley Anderson. I'm from Minnesota, and now I live here.
Ew, look, her teeth are falling out.
Gross.
Teeth falling out. Yeah, I'm used to that one. Let me guess, we have no pants on.
Hey, look, she came to school with no pants on.
Called it.
Let's party. Let's dance.
Yeah, party.
Bark.
This is not working.
What are you doing? Come back here.
It's just a dream. It's just a dream. It's just a dream.
What is going on?
He did it again.
You're in school. We were naked and there was a dog. The back half was chasing him and it was a big one.
You idiot. It was a dream. This is ridiculous. We can't even get a good night's sleep anymore. Oh, this is terrible. Wait, is that someone walking towards us? Yeah, let's cross the street.
It's Mom. She's onto us.
What do we do?
My bag. Riley needs to get core memories. We keep going.
Fear. When are you most afraid? When are you afraid, or what are you afraid of? Is it when you hear the click, click, click as you ascend the hill on a roller coaster? Is it when you know you're caught? Is it when you start sliding on the ice during a winter storm? You know, in preparation for this sermon, again, I use one of the most viable scientific tools that we have at our disposal, Facebook. I ask people on Facebook, when are you most afraid? Want to share some of the responses with you. When I think I might fail my family. What's next? Disappointing people, not measuring up. When family is ill and I can't help them. Dying alone. Failure. April 15th. When I don't know. Ants. Being eaten by ants. When I hear Donald Trump speak. when I think Hillary will be our next president. Oh, there were tons. I mean, I have a list of others. When I have to bargain for 340 people and don't know if I'm doing the right thing. When a police officer is behind me. Spiders, of course, who's not afraid of spiders? When I'm asked rhetorical questions. When I see my kids making hard choices that are beyond my control. Here's one who says, when my son, who's black, goes to play at the park all by himself. Those were some that people put on the page in public, but I also received some in my inbox, you know, some who were afraid to put that on public display for fear of controversy or fear that a debate would ensue that they weren't ready for. One person put, as a white person, walking by myself in the inner city. Another person put, when I share my true beliefs about what I think about the Bible in a Bible class, and then being attacked because people disagree with me. Fears, we all have them. We're all afraid of something. I have shared repeatedly my love for this film, Inside Out. In a way, it has really helped the conversation in a broader spectrum, not only in churches, but even outside of churches. The conversation about emotions has really been given an interjection of life. And but I have to, amidst my praise for this film, I guess you haven't really heard any of my critiques. And if I had one critique of this film or one issue with this film, it would be this. It would be the way that they portrayed fear. Because as you saw in the montage of clips from the film, you know, fear is this emotion that, you know, has the bag because he keeps hyperventilating and he's hiding under the control and he goes berserk. I mean, there's a scene in the film where Riley is at the hockey rink and she drops her water bottle and this boy picks up the water bottle and he has to talk to the girl and they go inside the head of the young boy and his fear sensor goes crazy. They're running around in place because they don't know what to do. It's like, oh no, a girl. I mean, that state, they portray fear kind of like this bumbling, you know, rumbling, doesn't know what to say, hysterical every time something happens. And I'm not sure that fear in our lives looks like that at all. Because in many of our lives, fear is the one that's most under control. Fear is the one that's at the control panel. Fear is the one that's pushing all the buttons. Fear is the one that gets the deciding vote. Fear is the one that seems to be in control. Fear. So there's only one critique I have of the film. Otherwise, it's a brilliant film. The one critique I have is that I don't think that they give fear It's due. I want us to consider for a moment what I'm saying here, why I believe that fear tends to be at the center of our emotional spectrum. I want us to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, we read a episode of what's taking place in the beginning, and you know, we most of us are familiar with the story. God creates the earth and he creates all the animals and all the mountains and all the waters and fish and birds. And he creates people that becomes the core or crowning achievement of his creation. You know, he looked at man and said, oh, very good. And he puts them in this garden and he gives them, you know, the lay of the land. He says, you can do kind of whatever you want. Except for that one tree that's in the middle. Just don't eat that. The day you eat that, you're going to die. And you get to chapter 3, and there's this serpent that's slithering around, and he comes, and he's talking with the people. And it was such a time then that the fact that a snake came up and started talking didn't bother anybody. Don't know about you, if I go to the Columbus Zoo and the snake say, "Hey, what's up, Dion? What you doing today?" I'm going to get a little nervous. But, you know, back then, wasn't a problem. The serpent talks and probes the woman about the condition and this tree, and they eat it. She eats it and gives some to her husband to eat. We get to chapter 3, down to verse number 6. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid." Isn't it interesting, church, that the first emotion prominently displayed in Scripture as displayed by humans wasn't joy, wasn't sadness, wasn't anger, wasn't disgust. It was fear. When I heard you, we hid because I was afraid. It would seem that the trajectory of mankind, as we read Scripture and look at the story in the Bible, would be that people, humans, would repeatedly be in situations, circumstances, positions where they would be afraid, so then God would have to address them and their fears. I mean, take a look at this sampling from Scripture. And this is just a sampling, because there are literally hundreds of instances where God addresses the fears of the people. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." Genesis chapter 21, verse number 17. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Moses said to the people in Exodus chapter 20, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Second Chronicles chapter 20, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat." I love that name, Jehoshaphat. I just want to say it one more time. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 5, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" And for the better half, Luke chapter 1 and verse number 29, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" Acts chapter 18, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid." Revelation chapter 2, John writing to the churches in Asia, speaking of or quoting the Lord, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you your life as victors." Give you life as your victor's crown. I share with you all of these examples of the way that fear is highlighted throughout, again, the biblical record, the scripture story, the scripture narrative. And I give it to you as a way that says that scripture and God himself acknowledges the presence of fear in our lives. He doesn't ignore it. He addresses it. He knows that we are going to be fearful in situations. He knows that there are circumstances that should make us afraid, that should cause us to have some fear. And in the book of Revelation, John's writing to a group of churches who are being persecuted. I'm talking deeply persecuted. I'm talking children being taken away and murdered because of their faith. That is something to make you fearful. And God doesn't just erase the fear or say that you have no reason to be fear. He assures them and affirms their fear with his presence. Throughout the Bible story, we see God through prophets, through preachers, through angels, and even himself identifying fear and addressing fear with his presence. Like I have said all along, this emotion, fear, has a legitimate and useful place in our lives. Fear protects us from doing stupid stuff. In the film, while fear is portrayed as this cowering, fumbling, and bumbling idiot, fear also takes a posture most prepared to protect us. Did you see Riley riding, pulling her wagon and seeing the cord? Fear is the one that says, "Oh, stop, wait." It's protection. It seems that in our own lives, fear gets the deciding vote on what we do or what we will not do. So we do have to ask the question, why does fear hold the reins at the control panel of most of our minds and hearts? Why do we make choices that most reflect our reaction to our fears? Why does fear often get the decisive vote in our families and in our churches? One author wrote this: "If you allow fear to determine your decisions and actions, you will lose your life. Why do people stay in destructive, abusive relationships? Why do people stay in jobs they have, or why do people stay in jobs that they hate instead of taking risks to pursue a lifelong passion? Why do leaders allow unchristlike decisions to prevail on church boards and councils? Why don't people stand up and speak out in the face of injustice? It all comes down to one word: fear. As much as we need to allow fear to have its rightful place on the emotional spectrum, we also have to guard from fear becoming the dominant leader that often becomes or is prevalent in our lives, as evidenced by the way that we typically make decisions. We find ourselves being fearful of everything, and the trajectory of our lives look more like a reaction to our fears and not a response in faith to the God who has the power to conquer and quell our fears. And that God will be present with folks when they are afraid is not just a promise that ancient Israel had or the early church have or the apostles that or writers that wrote these New Testament passages. God's promise to be present alongside them in their fear wasn't just a promise given to them. It's a promise that we have in the church. I mean, listen to the psalmist. These are our scriptures as well. The psalmist in Psalm 94, 18, when I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety or fear was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. That's not only the song of this psalmist, but it's also our song. Listen to Jesus as he prepares to depart this world, as he's talking to his disciples. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And here Jesus is not dismissing our fear. He's saying you are not to be overcome by fear. You won't be overcome by fear because I am leaving with you my Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says about that spirit that we do have in 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. Listen to the disciple who was with Jesus. In 1 John, this disciple writes, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Church, here again, we are faced with a proposition of kingdom proportions. Will we embrace who we are with all of our emotions and feelings? As wonderfully as we have been made, are we in position to accept who we are? And will we allow God to meet us at the place where we have joy or sadness or anger or disgust, or when we are gripped with fear? Because the truth is that even though when we have our conversations and people ask us how are things going, and we are very quick to answer in the affirmative or answer, "Oh, I'm doing okay," alongside, and we may be doing okay, we might even be doing good, great. But alongside those answers in the affirmative, we have fears. We fear our futures. Anyone here have fear about what's going to take place tomorrow, next week, or next year? We fear for the lives of our children. We fear for the loss of what is familiar. We fear war. We fear disease. We fear political outcomes. We fear church decline. We fear broken relationships. We fear what we don't know. We fear for the fate of those we love. We fear making people upset. We fear change. And here is a powerful, almighty God who is present with us right now as we speak, who says, "I see your fear. I see it. I know it. I believe you when you said, when you say you're afraid. But here's a God who says, trust me. I'm here with you. Many of us grew up in a faith tradition where we heard more about fearing hell than we did about loving God or being compelled by the love of God. What I'm saying is we heard more about become a Christian and live your life right or else you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that this is not a legitimate message. I am saying that the Bible talks more about a loving God who was present with us in our fears than it does being fearful of a place that's hot. And many of us are driven by that fear. So much so, I've had the pleasure, and I say pleasure because it's an amazing thing to see people of faith as they are transitioning to be with the Lord. And I get an opportunity to be with family members as they're sitting with their loved ones who might be passing away. And some of those pleasant experiences of seeing people of faith breathe their last. But I have to say I'm a bit troubled when I remember sitting there with an older woman who's in her 90s and has just lived, I'm talking 70 years of robust faith in God. And her saying to me, I hope I did enough and I didn't mess up and God will send me to hell. Wow. It's because our narratives have often been one filled with this fear of hell, being motivated by this fear of hell, as opposed to being motivated by a loving God in the face of the hell that we're living here on earth. Brian Zond, one of my favorite bloggers and authors, he wrote this. He said, Christian happiness is based on the conviction that because of the accomplishments of Christ, the future is a friend. In other words, whatever our fears are regarding what's going to take place in our futures, because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, I can rest in that. And I don't have to be driven by my fears. Church, I affirm you in what you are most afraid of. From the, what some might call the trivial, I put on Facebook, you know, one of the things I'm afraid of, and I'm often afraid to share this with people because I don't know what some of you, like manly men, will think of me, but I kind of have a phobia of fish. And so when I like to go fishing, but I'm scared to take the fish off the hook. Why y'all laughing at me? That's just me. That's just me. Now, some of you in here are definitely afraid of birds. And I've seen you around birds and you go crazy. So don't hate on me because I'm scared of fish and you're scared of birds. But this is one of my fears. I just, you know, and I'll do it. But it takes a lot for me to take a fish off the hook. I don't know, it's just something about imagining a fish is going to like grow double its size and like eat me alive or something. I don't know, it's something weird. I have my phobias, okay? You might call that trivial. But I want you all to know that as trivial as that fear or others might be, your fear of spiders or your fear, you know, claustrophobia, whatever, God is with you in those fears. He's also with you in those fears that tend to keep us up at night. You know, having a child across the world and not knowing what they're doing, like right at this very, very moment. Or the fear of dying all by yourself, or the fear of failing the people that you love, or the fear of not accomplishing the task that you've been given. God is with you in those fears, with those fears. God comes alongside of us in all of our emotions. So what we pray is that whatever your fears are, that you're not overcome with the shame. And usually we get shame when we start comparing ourselves to other people. You know, because I'm kind of ashamed that I go fishing with my buddy and he's not afraid to take the fish off the hook, but I am. I'm ashamed because that person isn't afraid about the future of their children, but I'm afraid for the future of my children. That's where the shame comes in, and it takes over. So in this moment, in this space, I want you to place your fear or fears on this card, and I want you to be assured with this promise that the same Jesus who told his apostles at the Last Supper that I'm going to give you a spirit, I'm going to be with you always so you don't have to be overcome with fear. That same Jesus is saying that to each and every one of us this morning. So in just a moment, as this song is played, if you want to come and place your fear here, and as you place your fear here, you can take your purple bead as a way to remind you that this is part of who you are. If you haven't been here for the other weeks and you need to take a bead of the other colors, you can do that as well. But as you now have all five of these beads, a yellow bead for joy and a blue bead for sadness and a red bead for anger and a green bead for disgust and now a purple bead for fear, you understand that the best you, the best you is one who embraces all of these emotions and know that God gave them to you for a reason. And that there are reasons, legitimate reasons to be joyful and legitimate reasons to be sad and legitimate reasons to be angry, legitimate reasons to be disgusted and legitimate reasons to be fearful. With all the emotions, we pray that it draws you closer to an understanding about you, but a better understanding of who God is and why God created you the way that he created you. A fuller you is one who is able to experience all these emotions. But don't let your joy crowd out sadness, anger, disgust, and fear. And don't let your sadness overcome and dominate all the discussions. And don't let your anger cause you to strike out. Don't let your disgust feed into contempt for others. And don't let your fear always be the decisive vote for everything that's done in your lives, individually, as family, and in our churches. Fear has its rightful place, but it need not be the decisive vote all the time. Right now, some of you are wrestling with a decision to make about your future, and fear is jacking you up. Right now, I want you to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit and God in your life. Make a decision. God's going to be with you. As this song is played, if you want to come and drop your card here at the cross, where all of our emotions, they all meet here at the cross, you can do that. So let's play this song and let's bring our fears before the Lord.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, Lord.
Perhaps the biggest fear that most of us have is sharing our fears. I know that's a huge problem with males. As I've said earlier in the series, many times men think it's just unmanly to be afraid or to share your fears. So this is a big step for many of us right now. Just admitting that we have fears. I pray that in this space of admitting that we have fears, that God will meet us right here, right now. Hold us by the hand, and that he would be to us. I know it's a few months before Christmas, even though some stores have Christmas displays out. But that in this place right now, here in September, while it's 90 degrees, that you will receive God as Emmanuel, that God is with you. Thank you, church, for journeying over the past several weeks using a cartoon. It seems absurd, but then again, it doesn't, because it's amazing how God uses what has been created as a way to speak new truths into our lives. But thank you from the bottom of my heart for journeying with us. As the praise team takes his place on stage, we'll have a few moments of reflection as we sing the song. If there is something that we can provide for you as a church body, prayer, ministry of baptism, added presence, we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and as we sing.